This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Freedom.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, if you're listening over the telephone and you're able to get just a piece of bread or something and some juice and be able to join us as we prepare our hearts for the service of Thanksgiving, as we offer up our communion prayers and thoughts of what Jesus did on Calvary for us. This is what communion means to us. It means to remember what Christ did, remember the sacrifice of his broken body and his shed blood. And I read to you now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 30. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death, proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Where are you in confession of your sins? It says that you shouldn't eat the share in the communion unless you first pause and look inside and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things in your life that need to be confessed or need to be reconciled. So let's have that quiet prayer for yourself this morning and confessing in your heart. Father, you hear our prayer. Confession of our sin. Confession of broken relationships. Father, we pray that each of us would be repentant in our hearts as we come before you. So let us eat of this bread and drink of this cup in remembrance. In Christ's name, amen. So those of you who are here have a little cup with the bread in one side and the juice in the other. Flip it over to the bread side. Those of you who are at home, if you're participating, take your bread in your hand. And repeat. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Let's repeat together. The bread that we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Partake. Reminiscent of the broken body of Christ. As you take it, it's not just something to put between your teeth. It's to remind you in your head that his life was shed for you. His body was broken for you. Nobody in your experience has ever gone that far to demonstrate love. And as you open this container on the top and come to the juice part, this common cup is symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll say together, this cup which we drink is the communion of the blood of Christ. This cup which we drink is the communion of the blood of Christ. Please partake. Father God, the blood that was shed for our salvation, our redemption, our forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for your great love to sacrifice yourself in this fashion. Heavy price to pay for our salvation and our forgiveness. And we are forever grateful. Help us to live in such a way that we are worthy of such a sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all of who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Never forget. Amen and amen. So, By way of introduction and context for the message and the heart of the message, I'd like to have you think about these things. If you haven't noticed, there is a war on American history going on in our country. In the summer of 2020, television news was plastered with scenes of angry and violent mobs defacing and destroying historic statues of heroic figures. George Washington? Abraham Lincoln? I mean, just amazing. Christopher Columbus, being an Italian, you know how that hits me. This war on American history is even more passionate in America's classrooms. The New York Times has joined the fray by publishing a radical publication called the 1619 Project, which is at war with American history on so many levels. The seeds of this current modern war on history were planted more than a century ago by a number of misguided secular thinkers. Perhaps the most influential of them all is a name you might have heard, Karl Marx. He described all of history and society as a class struggle. We've taken that idea of a class struggle and turned it into a racial struggle. And he said it was between the oppressed and the oppressors, the oppressors and the victims. He expected in the future that victims would unite and forcibly seize power and control away from the oppressors. That was his goal, this revolution, to overthrow the system. But there were and there are obstacles in his radical revolutionary ideas. And for Marxism to win, these obstacles would need to be removed. Let me list a few of them and you'll see how those are happening today. So first, the first one on the list was quote unquote religion, our Christian faith. Then there was all biblical ideas of morality and family, along with any sense of the individual, along with any idea of individual property, private property ownership, free association, free speech, and so many of the things that our founding fathers and founding documents define as our freedoms. There is in America today an enemy within. Do you think? There is in America today an enemy within. As God told an unrepentant Israel, listen to this verse. I didn't have a chance to put it down in our notes, but listen to it. This is what he writes to an unrepentant Israel in Hosea 13:9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Listen to this verse again. It's Hosea 13:9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. O America, we are destroying ourselves. Amen? You see, God's gift to America, God's gift to the world is freedom. I thank God for the freedoms we have in America, but I thank God even more for the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. So let's get to our sermon this morning. Let me define terms. First of all, freedom is defined as the absence of necessity of the things you need, the basic things you need of being met, coercion, anybody trying to twist your arm, or constrain you in your choices and actions. Synonyms, words that mean the same, liberty and independence. Antonyms, words that mean the opposite, slavery, bondage. Freedom is not license. License is defined as a freedom that violates usual rules, laws, and practices, and abuse of liberty. What we're seeing enacted on the streets and in the halls of politics today are a violation of the very rules that have governed our country and the traditions. 1 Peter 2:16. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, in other words, evil intentions, but as servants of God. Someone wrote, what is freedom? Properly understood, a universal right to do good. Now, the Bible says that we have the right to protest peacefully. Someone on the news media said, where is it stated that you have to protest peacefully? It says so in the Constitution. But they don't care about that. America was founded on the God-given principle of freedom. Freedom of religion, political freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of association. Look at the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They're crystal clear that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their what? Say it again. By their Creator with certain inalienable or unalienable, mean to say, rights that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can't guarantee happiness, but can only guarantee that you're free to pursue it. As fine and noble a document in 1776, the Declaration of Independence did not grant freedom to all. Slaves were not free. John F. Kennedy said, freedom is indivisible. When one man is enslaved, all are not free. History tells us the principles of freedom were born in the bosom of Scripture. George Washington's favorite verse. Anybody remember what I said about this? Here's his favorite verse, Micah 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Private property is enumerated in some of God's freedoms and part of his principles for us. That you have the right to sit under a tree that's yours and feel that fresh breath of freedom. I got to tell you something. That's almost strictly an American ideal. So many places, property, all property belongs to the government. Sometimes it feels like that here too, doesn't it? Freedom. That a man could sit under a tree on his own land and not fear the king or the Congress or the state or the township would arbitrarily take it away from him. The right to private property is a cornerstone of democracy and freedom. Almost everybody in this room enjoys that. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is the most important relic of American patriotism. The Pennsylvania delegates, they put a verse on there. Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. You're free. You're free. If you look carefully at the bell today, you'll see that in addition to its famous crack, there is a hairline crack through the word liberty. Perhaps it is God's way of reminding us just how fragile the gift of freedom and liberty truly is. But unlike man's best intentions to offer freedom for all, only Jesus Christ offers a freedom that cannot be taken away to any and all who receive him as their Lord, Savior, and King. Let's turn in our Bibles to our text, and we're going to go through it verse by verse. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. I'm going to ask those of you who are here this morning to stand with me as we read John 8:31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, well, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You may be seated. Verse 32 says, the truth shall make you free. Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate in judgment, and Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? If he had been listening to the words that Jesus had been preaching in the streets, he had listened to the reports and gotten them straight. He would have been listening to what Jesus said about himself. John 14:6, Jesus proclaimed himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. The way to God. There's a sense in our country that we have lost our way. Jesus is the way. The truth. He's the truth about God's provision for salvation. There's but one way to get to heaven, and that's through Christ Jesus. People consider those like myself and you who say that Jesus is the only way to be very closed-minded. Well, if we're closed-minded about this truth, then we're closed-minded about this truth. There is no other way. Life with purpose and meaning here on earth, and life eternal in heaven. He's all of those things. Freedom and liberty, such as human institutions and men's best intentions could never realize, are realized in Jesus. The truth is, what Jesus said, he will make you free. Verse 34, without Christ we are slaves to sin. You know what the deadliest sin of all is? to be convinced that there is no sin, that there is no such thing as sin. And the culture is on its fastest track to try to convince people that there is no such thing as sin. I heard, and I wasn't able to check it out, so I can't quote it directly, that there is one edition of the dictionary that leaves out the word sin because it's too controversial. Now, I can't guarantee that. That's why I'm not quoting it with a source. But that's what I heard. They're working to take the word sin out of vocabulary. It's so hard to see the ugly consequences of sin. Is it so hard to see the ugly consequences of sin that we have visited upon ourselves? Look around. More than 45 million babies killed in the womb. The definition of marriage is a lifelong loving relationship between a man and a woman being redefined. Smut passing for entertainment. Children being robbed of their innocence. Vulgarity peppered throughout almost every movie and TV program, not even a wince on our part. This is not freedom. This is an abuse of freedom. Sin wouldn't be so attractive if we had to pay its consequences up front instead of at the tail end. If we really could see the consequences of our sin, I think we really would take a second look. We dress sin up to try to make it attractive. I remember back in the 1930s, I think I've said this to you at least one other time, smoking was so sophisticated. Everybody in the movies smoked. They all looked so great, and everybody wanted to emulate. Right, Mom? You were there. People wanted to emulate everybody smoking cigarettes. Well, we have paid an awful cancerous price for that illusion, haven't we? Today, our young emulate the lifestyles of the rich and famous, the beautiful people, which includes their drug and alcohol abuse, irreverence, vulgarity, crude behavior, and disrespect for parents, marriage, the church, and any figure in authority. This is our inheritance. This is our sin coming out, manifesting itself from father to children. This is not freedom. Our culture is in bondage to sin, just like Jesus said. And there's no way out on our own. True freedom, the fresh air of a clear conscience and the sweet spirit of liberty will elude the strongest and the wisest of people. You think you can overcome it on your own. You are doomed to find out that you can't. You can't break the bondage of your sin by yourself. You need the help of the Holy Spirit living within you. The only way out of the bondage of sin and the only path to true freedom is to put one's faith and trust in the greatest freedom fighter that ever lived, Jesus. Verse 36, in Christ, he says, you shall be free indeed. Unequivocal, you shall be free. Doesn't mean you're never going to sin. And don't let anybody ever tell you that. And pull the wool over your eyes. When a Christian sins, the remedy for that is confession and repentance. Christians do sin, and that's why we need that remedy. This is not a flash in the pan kind of freedom. This is not a blowing in the wind freedom. This is not like political freedom, religious freedom, freedom of speech, or the press. They're all wonderful human rights, but they can be taken away. Go back with me to about 1939. The Nazis rolled their tanks into Poland. The war stood by and did absolutely nothing, while the Poles lost their freedom and put in bondage overnight. That's all it took. Hardly a shot needed to be fired when the Poles saw the Nazis. Some freedom stealers don't do their theft of freedom in the night. The Bible reports that there are none so blind as those who will not see. There are more hopelessly enslaved people who falsely believe that they're free. So many people who think they're free because they can do whatever it is they want. They call that freedom. And that isn't. That's the other thing I mentioned, license. That's the very violation of freedom. There has to be some boundaries on our freedom. We can operate freely within certain boundaries. And when we don't, we've gone over the edge. We've gone over the top. French philosopher and author and historian Alexis de Tocqueville, he toured America beginning around 1831. This is what he wrote. Liberty cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. We're finding out that freedom without Christ and his word at its foundation is no blessing to us. America is slowly tearing away at the biblical God-centered principle that helped to make it free. So many are blind to its deterioration because it takes place one lawsuit at a time, one act of legislation, one tiny step at a time. Freedom of speech is increasingly becoming a freedom that doesn't extend to anyone because it doesn't extend to everyone. Try talking about Jesus at school. Try praying in public. See what happens. Try standing on a street corner. Thank God that you're allowed to do that here. Author George Orwell, 1984. This is what he writes. Think about this. If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. That's our future. Only certain people are allowed to speak up. Only certain ideas are allowed to be floated. We have come up with a new paradigm. It's the idea of being canceled. More and more people are being taken off Facebook. Most of them are Christians. Whether society wants to hear it or not, there can be no question that America's roots go deep into the biblical soil. In 1861, William Penn received a large grant of land from King Charles of England. He wrote a letter dealing with that land on January 1st, 1681. And this is what he wrote, quote, that he would make and establish such laws as shall best preserve true Christian and civil liberty in all opposition to all unchristian practices. This is Benjamin Franklin. I'm sorry, not Benjamin Franklin, William Penn. And he goes on to say, God that has given the land to me through many difficulties, will I believe, bless, and make it a seed of a nation. He was saying that it's God who is the one who rules our country. And it's God to whom we owe our loyalty and worship. And without a Christ-centered country, the truths and the freedoms that we've been given through the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are untenable. We can't live up to them. If there's no Christian, biblical, moral base, in the absence of God authority in a nation, a vacuum is created. Nature doesn't like vacuums and fills them with something. If God is taken off center stage of the great American drama, something or someone else will take its place. Religious freedom will become a victim. If Christians are not free, America, if Christians are not free in America, no one is free in America. Amen. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. The liberty we have in Christ and the blessings associated with having been his children are in sharp contrast to the freedom we have as citizens of the greatest country history has ever seen. What we have in Christ can never be taken away. His contract with us for citizenship in heaven has been signed with unchanging, unerasable blood. The fact that we are guaranteed heaven has been signed in Christ's blood. I can't tell you, over the last couple of weeks, I have met and spoken to a number of people who are not sure that they're going to heaven and they're Christians. They don't K-N-O-W. They don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt because they feel they're not good enough, that they haven't reached a certain plateau in their own minds that guarantees them. Let me say unequivocally right now, Jesus died for you on the cross. When you accept that truth and say, I believe that Jesus died for me. I know I am a sinner. I confess my sins to him. I ask him to forgive me of my sin. I ask him to come into my heart. When you do that, when you believe he died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you, and you put your faith and trust in him as your God, as your Savior, and as your King, you are saved. The Holy Spirit has come within you. He's never going to leave you and never forsake you. So you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. And don't let the devil tell you otherwise. We must pray for our nation and the leaders of our country, our state, and our township, that they would seek God's wisdom in their deliberations and their discussions. If America ever needed to turn its back on the things of the world and turn its heart to God, it's in this hour. America, it's time to recognize the blessings of freedom God has given us and to give them thanks. It's past time for Christians to stand up and speak out. When given the opportunity, let our voice be heard in the public square and in our private conversations. when asked about our faith in Christ, and we need to speak. You need to open up your mouth when given the opportunity by the Lord to share Jesus with somebody. It's not time to be ashamed. It's not time to be intimidated. It's not time to be afraid. It's not time to be unsure. It's time to be dead sure, because people's eternal lives depend on us. I have to stand behind this sacred death Sunday after Sunday, and I am being held responsible in eternity for what it is that I present to you. And I want to be sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, before I take any other steps, that you have given your heart to Jesus Christ. Only you can know that. Only you can make that decision. I can't save anybody. I can't even save myself. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, if we live our lives in such a way that we lift him up, if we speak in such a way that we lift it up, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So who's going to lift him up? That belongs to you, and that belongs to me. Please, I encourage you, when given the opportunity to speak for Jesus, do it. Pray about it. Ask God to give you the courage. I'm sure he's speaking to some hearts right now about this very issue. When given the opportunity to speak to your relatives and your friends, and when the door is open, speak. And if you feel that you can't speak, invite. Invite them here, and the Lord will speak to someone else. But make sure that you speak for them. Let's pray. This morning, Father, we just pray that despite this service, your words are clear about our freedom and the freedom we have in Jesus Christ to be your spokespersons and your ambassadors. Help us, Lord, to get off the couch of ease and indifference. Help us to get over our inability to open up our lips and speak the name of Christ to those who need him, who are without him this morning. Give us holy boldness, but give us boldness that is ensconced in love. Help us to love people so much that we don't want to see them go to hell. We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you for your time together. We just pray your blessing on all who have listened today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for listening this morning. The service over the telephone is coming to an end. Lord willing, we'll hear from you and see you Wednesday night. And so God be with you and good morning.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.